I'll be honest. I've not seen a little Cobra Kai in a couple of days. I got to double back down. I feel like I'm missing Johnny Lawrence. I've almost forgotten how much I hated LaRusso. I'm ready to get jump back in, Al.
So I'm the same exact way. I haven't watched in a couple of days, and to be honest with you, nothing has changed in my life. I feel fine. I'm not having withdrawals. Nothing.
No, like, you're good.
When Squid Game was going on, and that thing was in the heart of it, I was, that thing was messing with me mentally, and I had to get back in. I had to get right back in. Let me go watch
another episode. Afraid a van was going to come by and pick you up in the middle of the night and take you to the place?
I was afraid of the actual games, worried about the actual games. And then here we are 4 days. I think I haven't seen Cobra Kai in maybe 4 days. What's the last one we watched?
Thursday going into Friday.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
And for some reason, I don't feel like I missed out on anything. Let me actually give you a good example of why you also feel the same exact way. You feel the same way is because when's the last time you saw an episode?
Same time, really, like late last
and
week.
You were one episode behind me.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you said that you would catch up.
Yeah.
You didn't.
I did.
Which tells the entire story of why Cobra Kai is eh.
Well, there was some stuff I had to get done. No. Stop. You don't get to meh Cobra Kai. I know you've been in a mood lately. I understand. I don't know. You're going through some stuff you haven't shared with the group. I think it's going to happen eventually. You're going to kind of open up to the rest of us and explain what's going on. It's fine.
I'm
here
booster.
For you. No,
that's
because you came out fiery early in the week on the booster, but you'll come back. I'm not going to let you poo-poo
coward.
Cobra Kai. That's no good at all.
I got it. I actually do. We should. I mean, I don't know. We just literally just stopped, just out of nowhere, stopped watching it. We should get an episode in here. I'm not going to watch one tonight.
I'll catch up.
And then tomorrow we'll both be at the same place.
It'll be perfect.
We'll watch an episode tomorrow.
We can break it all down tomorrow. It'll take me 9 minutes to watch the episode because I only watch the Johnny Lawrence scenes.
Sure.
it'll be
that's
absolutely
a sign
perfect.
Of a really good show, by the way. When you forward through,
it's a hate
a 35-minute show, and you watch it in 9 minutes.
Who doesn't want to hate watch Daniel LaRusso? So yesterday I was in a good mood, right? Remember, I just kind of had a little bounce in my step. I was feeling
what happened?
It a little bit.
Did we know why?
Nothing really. I just woke up and felt pretty great about everything. Today, something happened. So, kind of the normal morning routine. I get up, I come downstairs, and I make myself a cup of coffee. Right. Yep. So I pour the coffee into the mug.
Get the ab roller out. Get Bowflex out, and do your.
My Suzanne Summers Thighmaster tapes. I put the VHS in. I get my morning workout in. Yes.
A minute and a half later, you're done.
Exactly. 6 minutes a day. What was it, 6 minute abs or was it 8 minute abs? I forget how long I needed to do my abs. There was a short ab workout.
For you, 3 minutes.
Three minutes
absolutely. Tops. That's all you need.
Emily's saying it was 8 minute abs. So there you go. I could do 8 minute abs. Pour my coffee, come in here to talk with you guys, and we're chit-chatting. I have a little of this coffee, and I'm like, this doesn't taste very good at all. Like, this, whatever. And I don't think, maybe I brush my teeth or whatever. It's just not landing right, whatever. So I have another couple of sips along the way. I'm like, this tastes like you know what. And I stop drinking. I go back to the kitchen, and I look at the little carton of half and half that I had poured into my coffee. It was well past its prime. It smelled like you know what. That's a really hard thing for me to recover from when I took a big shot of spoiled cream to start my day. It's a bad start to the day.
Yeah, that's nasty. I always, what are the ones like if you buy an almond milk or something along those lines, they expire in like 2044. But
well, there's nothing in it to do nuts expire.
But it says only
nuts
good
expire,
seven
though.
To it says only good 7 to 10 days after opening.
Right.
So you can't really, like, play the expiration date then. So now it's like, well, when did I open it? I'm not 100% sure. And milk will go sour like this. Almond milk, I don't know. I probably opened it 3 months ago. Still tastes good to me. Let's keep going.
Travis, you know what?
You hit me.
I had some spoiled milk this morning, too.
Did you really?
I feel like we were all in this meeting with some spoiled, gross milk. In our coffees, probably why we were all maybe in bad moods.
It's unrecoverable.
Just took some of my roommates.
Right? It's almost unrecoverable. That it's just kind of the rest of the day. You're a little trepidation going in to eat the next thing, drink. Like, let me triple check the date on this salami that I bought yesterday, just to make sure that everything's fine. I'm a little gun shy around food, which I don't really like.
So I think I'm weary on the expiration dates. Okay. this is a very old school take on this. You know, they're lobbing those expiration dates out there just to, let's get this individual back into the grocery store. Let's get him to go buy this product again. I always give it like, okay, what's the expiration date? A couple more days after.
They're recommendations.
Recommendations.
Yeah. You guys go ahead.
A couple more days after that.
You guys go, Taylor and Al, you guys, if it says, what's today? Today's January 12th. If it says January 12th, that thing's going in the trash can in my house. That's it.
I would say don't trust me because I leave my pizza out overnight too. Yeah, probably shouldn't trust Emily either.
Emily, I've become very fond of you over the last several months, but let's just pretend that you never told us that. That's one of those things that I'm better off not knowing about you, that you leave pizza on the counter overnight.
Wait a second. January 12th.
Yeah.
If it says it expires, it's milk.
Yep. Yeah.
The milk that you had today,
yes.
Is it fair to say that was a week, 2 weeks old?
No. Here's the crazy thing. The date was like 4 or 5 days from now, but it had 100% turned. Because when I opened up the carton and smelled it, it was spoiled.
No.
It was bad.
If the expiration date – so the expiration date said you still had a few more days.
Oh, yeah. Close to a week.
Yeah, then that's mind over matter. Now we're trusting everyone, and we're saying, "Look,
it
I still have
4 or 5."
It smells
bad and tastes bad. You're going to drink it.
It's okay.
I'm going to go fishing out of my garbage
disposal. Trust the expiration date. You have to trust
it. Mail it to you.
All right. I've been taking Tylenol that expired, I think, 9 years ago. You just have to. There's still a little shelf life in there. It's a mental thing.
If it smells, that's disgusting.
It's a food safety issue,
and I am out. I'm glad that Taylor's here because speaking of bad mornings, Taylor had arguably the worst feeling you can have in the morning. As bad as it is to pour a little crappy milk in your coffee that's turned, he had that, rolls over, looks at the clock, and he's more than an hour behind because he overslept. How'd that feel this morning, Taylor? That's a fun way to start the day.
I actually feel great this morning. I got a lot of sleep.
How late, how much did you oversleep by?
Just an hour, 15 minutes, hour 15, yeah.
That's not a little.
I'd have a heart attack. A little bit is 20 minutes.
That's 15 minutes.
They've got me coming in a little bit later these days because Jorge from Mason in Ireland is sick.
Never heard of him.
So I'm doing part of that show with Laura's help as well. And last night I was just kind of, deciding what time was the latest I could wake up, setting my alarm, and I was set backups and whatnot. And during that process, the math must have been difficult, and I just passed out.
And that's the difference right there. That Taylor, as a man in his 20s, when he falls asleep, he's going to stay asleep until his body tells him to wake up the next morning. Me, who I am no longer in my 20s, I wake up about every two and a half hours to triple check the alarm, to worry about my retirement fund, to wonder if my kids are going to be okay, to wonder if I'm going to be able to afford my mortgage payment at the end of the month. That these are the things that keep me awake every single night.
Why were you up at 5:30 in the morning? Well, I got to check Fidelity. I had to check Fidelity before the market starts. Hey, I have to check Fidelity to just make sure that everything is on pace.
I don't think he's passing chemistry. What are we going to do about that chemistry grade? And you know what? I didn't contribute to my 401k this month. And you know what? I didn't do this. And I'm really worried about the traffic.
Trash guy's late.
What's up with the Omicron? What's up with that? Is Al going to be bounced back from his? Like I can't turn my brain off this. And it's family, money, and work. Those are the three things that just keep you up every night. So, Taylor, I'm glad you got an extra hour and a half. That's good for you. Very, very good.
Let me tell you about the traffic. On the 110, absolutely nobody on there. Just free roads, flying. Put Waze on, make sure there aren't any cops around.
Waze comes on and says, you're good.
Yeah.
Just go ahead. You're fine. Take whatever route you want.
Take your time.
There are some variant blessings, I guess, that you can still make it to work on time. Oversleeping is the worst thing in the world. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. He did it again last night, Emily, that Jalen Ramsey dropped a little breadcrumb on Twitter?
So late last night, Jalen Ramsey posted and then some devil emojis
at
like 10:57 last night.
I've done that before.
Right. We all done it. But every other time this season, the Rams have added a new player.
Was it on Twitter or was it on Instagram?
Twitter.
I am doing on the gram.
Surprise star. Yeah, I got. He's done something similar. So he says like, "Oh, look out," or "He," and always the devil earring. So I was ready for something big this morning, and we got something this morning.
It was big.
the
Rams made an act. Jordan Fuller is down. He got hurt against the 49ers, so he's gone for as long as the Rams continue to play. They added Eric Weddle, who played for them a couple of years ago. Of course, longtime member of the Chargers, played briefly for the Baltimore Ravens, and came over and finished his career with the Rams a couple of years ago. But Eric Weddle is now a member of the Rams, and I'll be honest, Al, I didn't even know you could do that. I didn't know that you could add a player right before the playoff game, a guy that was just not on a team, not on a roster anywhere else, that you could just pick him up like that. It's not OBJ, it's not Von Miller, but it is a guy that's had a lot of success in the NFL, even if he hasn't played in a couple of years.
Can you do me a favor? Can you send out some type of a cryptic tweet or some type of a post on Instagram? Not today, not tomorrow, but, you know, when we're not expecting it. I'd love to see, like, what your cryptic tweet would be. Because if I try to do something similar, I'm going to use emojis that nobody's going to understand. It's like, why does it say happy birthday on there? Why is there a house on there? Why is there also a fire extinguisher? Like, what is he trying to say?
A siren, a triton, and a birthday cake. Like, what is that add up
to? What is Sliwa trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of interesting in the sense that he's here, but I what would be kind of fun is if once the playoffs start.
When did he last play, by the way?
2 years ago. I mean, and look, Eric Weddle is a very accomplished NFL player, but I just don't know how much juice a guy that hasn't played in 2 years is going to come in and all of a sudden be able to help. I think it's one of those. I'd have to imagine, Al, it's a, look, we need to have somebody that knows the play calls, that knows what we're doing, that'll at least run in the right direction. I can't imagine that a guy that hasn't played NFL football for 2 years just drops in and all of a sudden has a grip of what's happening in an NFL game. That speed is fast.
Well, I will say this, you know, physically on the field, probably not. Mentally, yes, he will, because he's just an incredibly smart player, been in the league for a long time. I don't know how many Pro Bowls he's made, but I know it's been a number of Pro Bowl selections. So, but you're right. He's 37. He hasn't played in 2 years. So it's an interesting move. I don't think it's a move that, you know, will dictate what happens this upcoming Monday against the Arizona Cardinals, but certainly somebody that they're going to bring in. And it's funny. When we heard the news this morning, I just kind of scratched my mind. Eric Weddle? I'm like, wait, haven't heard that name in a couple of years. Oh, that's because he hasn't been in the league in a couple of years.
Yeah, I thought maybe there was an Eric Weddle Jr. Here's what it is. 6 Pro Bowl selections. Mm-hmm. That was the third most between 2011 and 2019. That's pretty good. But here's the number that matters, right? Not 23 interceptions, not 6 Pro Bowl selections, not any of those things. Here's the number. Not even necessarily 37 years old. 750. You want to take a guess, Al? You want to know what 750 is?
What's that?
That is the amount of days between the last time he played and Monday night when this game starts. That is a long time. Mm-hmm. 750 days since he last played in an NFL game. We joke all the time, right? That you go out and you get some shots up at the gym, right? And then all of a sudden, there are a couple of guys come in. Next thing you know, you're playing 3-on-3, right? Mm-hmm. And you're a little sore. Well, imagine going to play full court all of a sudden, right? Now you can barely walk the next day. I don't care how good a shape you keep yourself in. If you haven't played NFL football in 750 days, what is that? What is Eric Weddle going to be feeling Tuesday morning?
I have absolutely no idea what he's going to be feeling. I guess the question is going to be, do you really think he's going to be – what kind of impact can the guy have in a game that he hasn't played in 2 years?
Well, okay. Can I be totally honest with you? I'll tell you on the other side. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. We'll tell you what he can do to that team come Monday night. That's next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, Al. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. This is straight talk. You ready? When you ask me about what does it mean, like what impact could Eric Weddle have if he's going to play on Monday, if you're just getting in your car and you're just listening to us right now, number one, do better. Get with us at 10 o'clock. That's when we start. That's when you should be with us. Make sure that you're with us every single morning at 10 a.m., even a little before sometimes. So make sure that you're here for that. Eric Weddle got added back to the Rams this morning. Jordan Fuller got hurt against the Niners. He's down. They need a safety. Eric Weddle finished his career with the Rams a couple of years ago, and he's back. And, Al, you asked the question, you know, what actually could he do come Monday night against the Cards, right? Mm-hmm. He could screw it up. That's the answer to the question. The question isn't, like, I don't expect him to have an interception. I don't expect him to, you know, make a game-saving tackle. If he does, wonderful. Gravy, right? All gravy, which, by the way, is always good. Who doesn't like gravy? The problem is he hadn't played in an NFL game in 750 days. 700. Al, you and I were – hey, Al, how you doing? Good to see you. Yeah, hey, Trav. We never saw each other. And now it's been a long time is the point since Eric Weddle played for the Rams. And all of a sudden, you got to deal with a guy that's been playing NFL football all season long, who is razor sharp, and you – and I don't know, I'm sure he's fit and strong and all that stuff, but it ain't the same as doing this. And now you got to have him in coverage, or you got to have him make a read, or you got to have him do something in the split second. I know that his mind will be up to it. I just don't know if his body can react like that after that much time off.
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to figure out how he can impact the game. Let's put it this way. It'd be very surprising that he impacts the game in a positive way just because of your age, just because how long you've been away from the game, just because it's playoff football. This is the first playoff game. It's interesting news today, but I don't really look at this as, okay, well, this is big time or this is the other way where it's like I just don't see how he's going to impact a playoff game at his age at this point of the season. And I'm with you. I was actually a little surprised that you're able to go out there and go grab a roster spot and throw somebody in there.
Yeah, go see, you know, let's go way back. Let's go see if there's somebody from the greatest show on turf that wants to come back. We've talked to Ricky Prohl. Emily, who have you had? We had Ricky Prohl. We've had Torrey Holt. We've had Aeneas Williams. Maybe he'd like to come back. He's perfect. Aeneas Williams is a Hall of Famer. Maybe he'd like to jump back into the mix. Yeah, can you do that in the NBA? Do you know if, like, the playoffs started, could the Lakers lob a phone call to Jared Dudley and say, hey, Dud, you want to come back and grab a few minutes with LeBron and the fellas?
For the NBA, it's the buyout market, right? All right, guys that are leaving, and let's just use as an example. Last season, remember Lakers, they grabbed Andre Drummond in the buyout market. A couple years before, it was Deion Waiters or maybe it was J.R. Smith. I can't remember who it was. But these are guys that were in the league. These were guys that were actually playing. They were on another roster. So it's obviously a different scenario.
Okay. Last one on this, and then I want to move to show. I mean, my first day back from vacation, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's like a long weekend, say you get like one of those four-day weekend, you know, Monday is off and Friday is off. You have a nice long weekend. That Tuesday back in the chair feels like I've never done this before. And it takes a few minutes. And that's talking. That's just sitting here having a cup of coffee, talking about sports, BSing, talking about milk and food and Dodgers, Lakers, and Rams. Imagine having to cover an NFL wide receiver after 2 years of watching football on TV. Good luck.
That's so funny you say that. I think like a couple weeks ago I was mentioning this, that I just went to the gym to just go shoot around. I had a half court all to myself. I took 9 shots, and all of a sudden I was like, let's get a little quick little breather here. Trav, you go. You'll know this too. And I actually, you probably, this is probably more similar to you for the Rams. Lakers have a couple days off, and then you get back into it to a pregame show. I need a segment. Like, it takes a second to just on a
Michael,
couple,
you want to take over for this segment? Just let me get my sea legs back.
Crossing my words over. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, and it's almost like you try to. Let's use tonight as an example. Lakers take on the Kings, right? The last game the Lakers played was against Memphis. Why does it seem like that game against Memphis was 6 weeks ago?
Well, Bryant Reeves had 24 points. Sharif Abdur-Rahim was very good from outside. He knocked out a bunch of shots.
How'd LaPhonso Ellis do?
Was LaPhonso Ellis a Grizz?
I don't know, actually. I could be completely wrong.
Mike Bibby, I think, was a Grizz.
Stromile Swift.
Stromile Swift. There you go.
That's a good one.
Perfect. You know, can I reveal a little secret here? And Taylor, tell me if this is true or not. Are you a sneaky, like, super NBA guy? Because when you pop on, you will drop some little NBA nuggets. Are you a little sneaky NBA guy back there?
Oh, not even sneaky about it. Hardcore NBA. But I like the early 2000s to about 2010. I think that's the best time period for me.
What's your team? Because as an Iowan, you could go a lot of different ways. Where are you going?
Oh, man. I don't know if I should say this on air.
You're a Bulls fan, aren't you?
No.
No?
Celtics?
No. Sacramento. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
you're fine.
Why?
Yeah, it's okay.
So I grew up watching Mike Bibby, Chris Webber, Peja, yeah, Christie. Right.
They haven't made the playoffs in 29 years. You're
but
fine.
Usually when I tell a Lakers fan that, all I get is sympathy, honestly.
Yeah,
it's more of
like,
a,
nobody
oh,
is, yeah,
oh,
nobody's
I'm sorry.
Concerned about that.
Yeah.
Slee was not giving you sympathy. Like, the look on your face out was great. It was just utter contempt.
Well, there's nothing to be upset at him about. Like,
you weren't upset.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah, you were just you were disgusted by the revelation. Like,
Golden One Acorn Casino. What credit union? I don't know.
Golden One Center. It's nice.
Golden One Center. Yeah.
Who's the sleep train? Aren't they the sleep train?
They were.
No, that's the mattress. That's the old one.
That was years ago. That sponsorship ended years ago. Trev
makes crypto.com arena sound like Boston Garden.
Yeah,
just kind of rolls right off the tongue. Back to Weddle very quickly. We're going to ask Sean McVay. Sean McVay is going to be on with us tomorrow, Al.
Yep.
12:30 tomorrow. So when everyone gets here at 10, and then you've listened to us for 2.5 hours, you will get to hear Sean McVay. And we can ask him about that, about why Eric Weddle and how much we expect him to play and the risks and the rewards and everything else. And you can beat him up about why he decided to go for it three times.
Got to go back to that Niners game, ask, you know, kind of what goes through. By the way, that is I know certain coaches have certain strategies. I was actually surprised that was his strategy. I really was, genuinely. Like, I thought,
strategy to run it three times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he'd be more aggressive. We're going for the kill. Like, I really genuinely thought that.
Yeah, yeah. It was out of character, I think. I'm staying in the lane that I was in. I get what he was doing, but I do agree that it was out of character a little bit. It was interesting. He said yesterday, he was asked about the loss. Does it mean anything moving forward? Do you flush it? Do you move from it? And here was his response. Does it always catch you a little bit by surprise when McVay cracks a joke? Because he's such a serious guy. He's so intense. But he's got a little sneaky humor in him. I like that.
I'm gonna just the actual quote of what he said, that game doesn't mean anything. In a sense, when I read it, in my head it was like, what do you mean doesn't mean anything? Of course it means something. You and I talked about this. First of all, you were up 17-0, so you gave up a lead. You've lost six in a row to the San Francisco 49ers. You could have walked into the playoffs with a six-game winning streak. You could have avoided potentially the Packers until the NFC Championship game, right? Yeah. Like, I think the it doesn't mean anything is like, what are you talking about? Of course it means something. But I think I understand what he's referencing to. What he's referencing is, what do you want me to do? It's over, right? You know, like, I have to turn the page. I have to move on. We're playing the Cardinals this weekend or on this upcoming Monday. You want me to keep worrying about the San Francisco 49ers? I can't worry about it anymore. So I initially when I read it, it was more of how can you better not undervalue that loss. You shouldn't, because that was a bad loss and the way it played out, and now you're walking into the postseason. But I get what he's saying. I can't look in the past. Let me just look forward.
The crazy thing about NFL players and NFL coaches I've said this to Key. I said this to Kirk. I've said this to Marcellus when he was here. I said it to all these guys. Never mind that they're bigger, stronger, faster than all of us. That's the entry point to play professional sports, right?
Yep.
But what they're better at than Alan Sliwa, Travis Rogers, and all non-professional athletes, they are masters of compartmentalization. They really are. That what happened last, what do I care? I don't have to tackle Deebo Samuel this week. I don't have to do it. I have to worry about, they can just turn that page and go to that next thing so quickly. You know me pretty well now. I tend to dwell on things. I tend to think about, 5 years ago when I tried that, I ended up hitting my toe on the coffee table in the middle of the night. I'm not doing that again. What if it happens again? That really hurt. I don't want to do that. These guys just move right past it. They don't think about, I guarantee you, there's nobody in that Rams locker room right now that's thinking about Lambeau Field in 2 weeks. Nobody. They're worried about what to do with Kyler Murray. They're worried about what to do with Chandler Jones. They're worried about what to do with Cliff Kingsbury's offense. They're not thinking about anything about San Francisco or Green Bay. They are on the task at hand. That's what makes them as much as anything else.
Trav, you know what's dangerous about this game on Monday? Mm. I think there's a little, you said this earlier. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll beat the Cardinals.
I do.
Right? And I think there's a little bit of Arizona didn't play good football over the last, 5 weeks
month.
Of the season?
Yeah, month plus.
And then they walk into Dallas and win at Dallas. They're dangerous enough to go win one game. They've done it already to the Rams. I'm not saying that the Rams are going to lose that game, but damn, doesn't it feel like there is, people are overlooking the Arizona Cardinals? Like, okay, well, this they just got the Cardinals and then
so.
They move on.
You don't think so? No, I don't. I think what you said, the first part, I agree. They can beat them, but I don't think anybody's looking past them because they got clipped by them early this year. I don't think that that's something that they move past. Two things I want to do. I want to ask the question about something that would be very unpleasant come on Tuesday morning. If, in fact, the Rams lose, where are they? And number two, I need to get to the bottom of how Sacramento became Taylor's favorite team. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. That's a terrible, terrible choice, and I'm going to offer a timeshare pitch, Al, on why he should join a different team. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think, Al, that the straight down the middle, I think that's Dean Martin. I couldn't swear to it, but I'm pretty sure that's Dean Martin. I think I would have been a good member of the Rat Pack. I really do. I think that I'd like to hang out, like to shoot a little pool, like to play golf, I'd like to have martinis with Dino and Frank and the fellas. I think I would have been a good member of the Rat Pack. Would you have joined us? Would you have been into that?
I think we could still do it. I don't think we start our own Rat Pack right now.
It was actually Bing Crosby, by the way.
Okay, Bing. So it's Same Bing thing. Crosby, but still inspired me to feel a little Rat Pack. Are you up for like three martinis at 1:15 on a Wednesday? Is that how you roll?
We're done at 12:55. We got 20 minutes to take three down, and we go from there. Maybe
we
start
have to
around
take them
noon.
All down. We could start at 1:15. You finish the show. We chit chat a little bit. We go get like some Oysters Rockefeller and start crushing martinis at 1:15.
Very Mad Men.
Who didn't want to do that? Oh, I would have killed it in Mad Men. I probably would have died before I got to my 50th birthday, but I would have had a hell of a time. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Here are some tweets to start today. Don't forget that Ask Slee is coming up next. So if you got tweets for that, at Alan Sliwa, at Travis Rogers. Of course, you can call 877-710-ESPN. This one says, Trav, that's like making a sandwich and not realizing the bread is moldy until after a few bites. That's from Matthew Pelosi. Matthew, no, it's not. It's because mold on bread, you can see it, right? The label on my carton of half and half didn't have an expiration date until the middle of next week. So I looked at the date, poured the milk half and half into my coffee, and it wasn't until I tasted it that it tasted like crap. It's not the same thing.
I was gonna come after you, but then I was like, no, I don't smell the milk. If it's like unless
a couple days away,
right? Unless we're getting close to game time.
So I had something that happened yesterday. So I was trying to make some eggs. I put cheese in my eggs in the morning, and I didn't realize until the cheese was already on the eggs that was moldy. So I didn't see the moldiness of the egg of the cheese before I put it on there. So I have been having some issues with my preservation of dairy products lately.
Your refrigerator might not be working properly, Emily.
Yeah, maybe
that's
it. Or maybe I'm just too lazy to clean out my fridge too and just don't look at any of my ingredients.
Here's one from Francis in Glendale. The Rams are three injuries away from re-signing DeMarco Farr. DeMarco's a great
ready.
Player.
I
don't know about that.
He's ready to go.
I don't know about that.
My man, DeMarco.
I don't know. Maybe Maurice Jones-Drew. You know, if Sony Michel and Cam Akers go down and sign Mo out of the booth, he could go down. Maybe JB could pick up somebody in coverage.
By the way, how about the – okay. I'm going to isolate this game on Monday, okay? There's some pressure on Matt Stafford on Monday night. There is some legitimate pressure on Matt Stafford coming in on Monday night. Trav, think about this. You know, like, I know you and I have said this, that even whatever success that they've had in the regular season, it was, okay, well, you know, do it in the postseason. What are you going to do in the postseason?
Mm-hmm.
This is the first game of the postseason. You know, he obviously has under his belt, and it's not all fair. And I'll be the first one to say, look, when you play for a Detroit Lions franchise, it's not fair to look at that past. But he's 0-3 in the postseason. And, of course, the Rams go out and give up what they did and draft picks to go get him. Bro, can you imagine first half throws a pick, maybe a fumble, and now all of a sudden you're walking into halftime?
Well,
and even if it's 10-10 at halftime, Trav, like the pressure is – Arizona, can you make it? Can you keep it a game just to kind of continue to make those stakes a little bit tougher, a little bit higher?
All of
a sudden,
ribeyes, strips. What are we talking about?
Can you imagine you're going into the fourth quarter and it's a 17-13 game? They're down by four.
Well,
I'm just saying that if you think about it from a pressure perspective, there is so much pressure. Like, you could say there's pressure, yes, on the front office, and there's pressure on Sean McVay.
Some. Go ahead.
Well,
yeah.
But with all that said, it comes down to the player that they went out. Is that player going to deliver or not? Because, yes, people are going to give Les Snead, and they're going to give Sean McVay a lot if they didn't win that game on Monday. But the finger's going to be pointed at Matt Stafford more than anybody else. If, you know, now he goes out, throws 350 yards, and the defense can't stop anybody, that's a different story.
It's so weird and so dumb. If you take the 30,000 foot view of this, it's so silly, because think about what's happened. We spent an entire year going through the Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford, was it the right thing? Has it helped? Are they better? Are they worse? Are they blah, 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 blah. We are exactly where they were a year ago. Exactly. Which is, they're in the playoffs. They kind of stumbled their way in.
Yeah.
And the entire season is going to be determined on whether or not Jared Goff, or see, I didn't even do that on purpose, whether or not the quarterback plays well. Last year it was, can Jared Goff play well enough to do it? And in interest of fairness, Jared Goff in the playoffs last year, pretty good.
Yeah.
He did a good job. And this year, too, like you said, it's all on Matthew Stafford. It is. You're right. But I think it's equally on Sean McVay and Les Snead, because they were the ones that, without saying it in this exact way, they made it crystal clear. The reason we got knocked out is Jared Goff isn't good enough.
Jared Goff.
The reason we were not Super Bowl good enough was because our quarterback wasn't good enough. If we fix that, everything else will take care of itself. Well, they did fix it, or at least we thought they were trying to. And we are exactly where they were a year ago. If we spent a year spinning our wheels to get right back to the same spot.
But, Trav, here's the funny thing, and I'm sure there's going to be people out there, and we'll see what happens, because it's not just the game against Arizona. Even if you lose in the next round after that, it's still the same conversation.
But palatable in the same way that last one's was, because if you lose to Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau Field, is anybody really saying, hey, you guys blew it?
No, you're not saying that, but you're also saying you didn't make progress, right? Like you're what you're saying is you went out and made a move, and I'm gonna make sure I'm crystal clear on this. I still think it was the right move. Like, I think that's the gamble that you go make. Like, if to just continue, if you thought Jared Goff's only going to get us so far, let's go get Matt Stafford and give up whatever we have to go give up to go get him. So I'm not one of those saying, well, they shouldn't have done it. No, I think making the move was the right thing to make. That's why when I say the pressure's on Matt Stafford, it's like, this is your moment. You've never had a moment like this in your career. You've never had expectations like this in your career. It's not the Lions. There are no excuses about the Detroit Lions. Look at that, the Rams' success since they've come back to L.A. or since they've been under Sean McVay. That's when I say, can you think of Monday night? You're walking in. There's 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and the score is 20-17. You're down by a field goal. I'm saying that you cannot tell me that he's not going to feel that in that game.
Oh, he's feeling it right now. I don't know where he lives, but he's feeling it right now. One more quick tweet. Trav and Allen, did Rob Pelinka temporarily become the Rams GM and sign Weddle? He did. That's from John in Huntington Beach. It feels like it. It does feel like a throwback to another time. My favorite.
At least some of those Laker players were. At least they were
in the league.
They were in the league.
yeah. Carmelo Anthony was in the league last year. Yeah. Now the year before he wasn't. But you know, who knows? Maybe we'll get a little Carmelo Anthony action. Well, it'll spark a little thing. Coming up, 15 minutes. I'm gonna talk Taylor out of the Kings. Taylor. This isn't just a bad look for you. This is a bad look for our show. We need
Taylor,
to fix
this. I'm going to talk you into staying with the Kings.
All right.
There's a reason I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, well, you see, you're a smart guy. Before we do all that, Ask Slee. It's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. So this one, you know, sometimes they come in at random times in the day, questions for Ask Slee. This one, Al, came in after our show yesterday while someone was on the air. Mace had an Ask Slee in the middle of his show that he wanted me to relay to you. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So this is from Mason of Mason and Ireland fame.
This is after the timer. So this is the first, what is it, like an overtime?
Because
you've had pre's, you've had posts. This is overtime. Yep.
This is overtime. Mm-hmm. Do crabs think people walk sideways? Hashtag Ask Slee.
It's an interesting perspective. I think they do. You know, when you really kind of I don't even know why it's a question. Of course they do. And it almost bothers me whoever sent that.
What do you mean whoever sent that? It's Mason.
Oh, is Mason's actual question?
Yes. No, this is from Mace.
And Greg Bergman. Greg Bergman texted me, too. They wanted to make sure that this was
awesome.
An Ask Slee.
I thought you were saying that during their show an Ask Slee came
No.
And he's like, hey, take this. I don't know what to do with it. Throw it over.
We had a meeting yesterday after our show, right?
Yeah.
And so in the middle of our meeting, I get a notification on my laptop from Steve Mason. And look, Mason and I will text once in a blue moon, but we don't text each other regularly. It's not like that. And I was like, I wonder what Mason's up to. So I click it, and it's an Ask Slee in the middle of his show.
That's pretty funny. It's pretty funny right there. Yes, they do think we walk crooked. Absolutely. And, you know, Mace, it's a good perspective. It's a fair question to ask. And absolutely, that if you go into a mind of a crab, that's what they're thinking.
I wonder if they think we're as delicious as we think they are. Because when I see a crab, I'm like, that guy looks pretty good. A little butter, a little something on this, little Tabasco on there. We could get that done.
Nothing looks good alive. Nothing.
Wow. That's a good point. Nothing. Fair enough. You don't look at a salmon in the river and go, You got to get that thing cleaned up and ready
to go. You're not at a farm and you see a chicken and say, look at those thighs.
I'm going to start looking at chickens all different now. Let's try a phone Ask Slee right now. Let's go to Downey and Jacob. Hashtag Ask Slee. What's up, Jacob?
Good morning, boys. So I'm going to piggyback off of a question that was asked on Monday from me. If Big Al – says, and many more on happy birthday. So my hashtag Ashley is, when Big Al sings happy birthday, does he add the cha-cha-cha in the middle? For example, happy birthday to you. Cha-cha-cha.
That's
a great
good
day.
That's good, Jacob. Thank you, Jacob.
All right, thank you, Jacob.
I don't know how you can sing happy birthday without the cha-cha-cha. And I act it out, too. You know what I mean? Like, I have by far the most energy of everyone at the table. Usually I stand on the bench. If we're at a restaurant, I usually stand on the bench. I'm trying to get other tables involved as well. You know, you've been to a sporting event where there's that one guy that, hey, a run is about to start, so he's trying to get the guys to stand up, like, you know, around him. Uh-huh. Like, come on, let's go.
You're the birthday common, version of that.
Very common. I do that at Applebee's. I do that at Outback Steakhouse, Claim Jumpers, all these restaurants I do it. I don't even know whose birthday it is. Sometimes it's a table next to me, and I'm on the bench saying, let's
What's
do
your
this.
Name? What's your name? Gary? All right, Gary, let's go.
Let's
Happy
freaking go.
Dear Gary.
Get table cha, number cha, 12 cha. Up, trying to get everybody up.
Perfect. All right, we got another in-house Ask Slee. Emily, you have an Ask Slee? Uh-oh, her mic's not up, guys. Let's make sure she's up. Emily, try it again. There you go.
Am I here? Okay, yeah. So at Emily Hebel, hashtag ask Slee.
Okay. Yep.
So, Devin Booker last night had some beef with the Raptors mascot.
Yes.
So if you had to have beef with any mascot in any sport, who would you want to have beef with?
Easy one.
Hashtag Ask Slee.
Any mascot. Okay, there's a couple come to mind. In Phoenix, that
gorilla.
Dude is just the man. The gorilla is the man.
Yeah.
Okay? In San Antonio, the coyote, right? In Chicago, what is his name? The
Benny?
Benny. I think it's Benny the Bull or something like that. Those are the ones that I think of right out the gate, but only because they're iconic mascots, like they're good ones.
Well, I'm surprised that with that in mind, Al, I'm surprised you didn't do the one that first came to my mind, and it's from your hometown, the chicken. The San Diego Chicken, right? Like he is.
But they said the NBA.
Was it NBA specific?
Was it NBA specific, or did I just make that
sport.
Up?
I was like any professional sport.
Okay.
Ah.
I thought for sure you were going chicken. Like the chicken is the original. He's the OG mascot.
He is the OG. He is the OG. But if I'm gonna have any beef with any of these mascots, I think I'm going to go with the Coyote, with the San Antonio Spurs, because that's the only actual team that we have a little bit of beef with, sort of, not really even anymore. The one
doesn't
that
have
I,
to be team beef. It can be personal
the
beef.
The one I don't understand.
Yeah.
Was it Chuck the Condor? What is that?
That one's kind of weird.
What is that?
I think it is Chuck the Condor. I think you're right.
Looks like a toucan.
It's good. You know, the other one is that I have absolutely great one for is the Philly Fanatic. You know, the Philly Fanatic is another one of
the
those
man.
OG mascots that he's got. He and Lasorda used to go round and round and round. I'd get into it.
Are you a mascot fan? Like, do you?
But any
care
Philly mascot would
they're
beat you guys up, though.
Well, that's true. Gritty from
up.
The Flyers is looks like
yeah,
a deranged serial killer. Yeah, I like the original ones, Al. I like the chicken.
Yeah.
I like the gorilla. When I was a kid in Phoenix, the gorilla was huge. The gorilla was more popular than most of the players back in the day. And then the Fanatic and the chicken are all good. All right, here's another one. This is from John. When you set your out of office, do you put, I'm out of the office, I'll get back to you, or do you lie and say, I'm out of the office and have no access to email? Hashtag Ask Slee.
I actually pretty detailed on there. So it's like, hey, I'm gone from this date to that date. And then it's just kind of up to me if I want to respond back or not. Do you check your email when you're on vacation?
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
But I also leave the out of office, like I'm out on vacation until this date. I'll get back to you when I return.
Yep.
But I also know that if it's important, I'll hit you right away. It gives you a two-way go.
You got
to
set
It's a
you
hitch
set
route.
The expectation that, okay, hey, I'm not going to get back to you.
Right.
And then it's, if I get back to you, then, okay, there's a reason why I got back to you.
All right. This is a good one. And by the way, this is something that just about everybody could weigh in on if they want. Taylor, Emily, Ask Slee, and all of you listeners, 877-710-ESPN. It's from Big E, who is a regular contributor to Ask Slee.
The crab one was pretty funny, bro.
It was great.
That was pretty funny that it came from them.
What was Slee's first cassette/CD purchased as a young teen? Your first record that you personally bought?
I don't know which one of these two it was, but it was one of these two. It was either Coolio,
okay,
Gangster's nice. Paradise.
Okay? Nice, yeah.
Or I don't know if I actually purchased that or not. I know the first CD that I got was Eminem's, his first album.
8 Mile?
Eminem's first. No. 8 Mile was down the road.
Okay.
It was.
Infinite?
Say it again.
Infinite?
No, I don't think that's his first one either.
The Marshall Mathers LP?
Yep, Marshall Mathers LP. I think that's his first, like his original one. Hi, my name is, you know, that yeah. album. I want to say that was the first one that I got. I don't even know how I was allowed to purchase that.
Did you have to sneak it in the house, like put it down in the back of your jeans and so nobody could see it? I'm going up to my room. Leave me alone. Lock
parents,
the door.
I don't think they understood anything of what was going on in that world. Like, and even for me to be listening to, I don't even think they put the pieces together. I think they just thought, well, we played Middle Eastern music growing up, so yeah, he's just going to listen to that. Yeah, it's probably not going to happen, guys. Probably not going to happen.
You should have put a CD rack in the liquor store. You could have helped your dad make a few bucks. Dad, this is what people are listening to.
This is
you want a little Coolio? You want a little Eminem? This is the way to do it.
Gangster's Paradise. I think I listened to that thing 1,084 times.
My first CD was Aaron Carter. So the brother of the Backstreet Boy.
Okay.
The younger brother of Backstreet Boy, Aaron Carter. My first cassette tape, though, was Fleetwood Mac. So I'm a big fan of Fleetwood Mac, but Aaron Carter was the heartthrob of my generation, I believe.
The first thing I ever bought was actually an LP, a record, right? Like an album in ZZ Top. So that's ZZ Top for the win back in the late 1970s. Maybe it was the early 80s. I don't remember.